Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The story goes, folks, that back at Virginia Commonwealth University when Rob was a young lad, he enrolled in an art class. And to subsidize his education, he not only worked at the local Safeway, but he also nude modeled for art classes. And
Well, I got the role because I could pose in the nude and it would still be only PG rated.
Didn't you ask Jack to paint you like the French girls?
Yes, I did. All that being said,
a woman named Elizabeth Chan filed a legal opposition to her claim. Elizabeth is a singer who exclusively does Christmas music. Chan isn't greedy. She's not trying to usurp the title for herself, and she's not trying to keep Mariah from using it, but she wants to prevent Mariah from being the only person who can use it. And I think it's Christmas, and they ought to have a sit-down and take it out of court and just move on.
Isn't it the person with the most money wins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I'm on Team Mariah.
That's right.
Shut that bitch down.
Mike, you like a winner, don't you?
I look over to my right, and I can see the reflection of our rental car in Jay Leno's green roadster thing with the top. I don't know what it's called. It's like a
Like yeah, one of his exotic cars, right?
An MG, maybe.
And I looked over and I was like, hey, Jay. He's like, hey, how you doing?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I hate with this camera on, I feel like I did in the gym when I'm...
Are you sweating? What's going on?
When Tim the sadist put me right in front of the mirror.
You don't like the mirror?
And... It's one thing to look at me on this monitor and just see every bit of aging that I've done. It's another thing to be in a gym surrounded by various aged people, but lots of very fit people, and just be sitting there and moving weight and looking like a total schlub.
What if they had like circus mirrors that made everyone look thin? That'd be something.
From Lake Tabor.
What? That'd be something.
That was not helpful.
From Lake Tabor, New Jersey, Bucksnort, Tennessee, Mulberry, Florida, Times Square in New York, the Outer Banks, North Carolina, and Ashdod, Israel. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. We're happy to have you here. I've been doing a lot of thinking over the last few hours because early in the morning, we were up very, very early in the O'Mara household, earlier than normal. And I stumbled across during my dead time, right before I was going to work out, Rob's channel, the classic movies from the Turner Corporation.
TCM,
right?
Yeah.
TCM, it's called. And it was one of my favorite all-time olden time actors, Spencer Tracy, starring as Thomas Edison. And down here in Florida, this is Thomas Edison's summer home, winter home, I should say. So there's Edison. There's Edison Avenue. There's Edison Playhouse. There's Edison. And you can go down to his home and see one of his laboratories. And it's kind of a cool tourist attraction. Henry Ford and Thomas Edison lived in the same area. And you've got the Edison House and the Ford House. And they used to... be pals, and then I think Thomas Edison had a full-fledged laboratory down here for all his experiments. So watching the great Spencer Tracy and a very understated portrayal of Thomas Edison, and I look back and realize Spencer Tracy was a great actor because he did manage in a period of film where over the top was the way to play stuff. He didn't do that. He was really chill, and because of that, he became a major, major movie star and was great in this. And there's a scene in this movie, this Thomas Edison movie, which I think was...
It's about Thomas Edison, right?
It's about Thomas Edison.
Yeah, no racist.
So was Ford.
No, Ford was more of an anti-Semite than a racist.
That's a racist, too.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny that you guys say something like that because it speaks to what I want to talk about. Because it really, immediately... Thomas Edison, I think the central plot line of the film is his pursuit of the light bulb, the incandescent light bulb. And there's a moment in the movie that also was featured in the HBO series, The Gilded Age, where Thomas Edison lights a section of New York City with electric light. And you see the reaction of the people just absolutely gobsmacked by the lights turning on, where there were once gas lights, these electric street lights turn on. You see this moment where everybody's like, oh, wow. And I thought about it for a second, and I was thinking to myself, when was the last time that we had, as a society, collectively, a real aha moment? You know, it would have to be on the magic box, right? It would have to be something that we could share that way. But I just can't think of one.
We landed on the moon.
That maybe the moon was it.
Yeah.
1968.
As far as something that we could share collectively, I mean, I've had aha moments that were like just around three or four people, but that wouldn't count.
No, I'm talking about like when something happened.
Yeah.
Something came, and I was thinking about where we are today, and where we are today, it just seems to me that this whole era that we have entered into, where opinion is just equal to, if not greater to, fact. Your beliefs and what you think, regardless of what background you have or what facts are there, it almost supersedes fact. And the thing about Thomas Edison, he did thousands of experiments mm-hmm. before he got the light bulb, before he got the incandescent light, before he was able to really figure. And it's just a great study of that. Trial and error, unbelievable perseverance, unbelievable knowledge, unbelievable levels of education and smarts and facts. Because it was quite simple. If they try something for the filament to to light the bulb, if it burned out or it didn't work, it didn't work. There was the fact. Fact. Day, night, in between, and he finally gets it. And I said, we just don't seem to be putting any value on that anymore, especially in this country where everything is, you know, so many people today, it seems to me, whether they be in the media, whether they be in politics, whether they be in anything, seem to be so set in their belief system, but there's not a lot of knowledge there to back it up. And I don't think we care that much.
No.
So I watched this and I said, that was when we were like, he was a superhero.
The Wizard of Menlo Park is what his name is.
Incredible. And he was revered and everybody loved the guy because it was like, look what he did with his hard work and his knowledge.
Okay.
You know?
And I don't want to sidetrack this conversation. Within the film, did they touch on how he brokered a deal with Eastman Kodak to not sell film for movies to certain groups or certain production companies?
No, we didn't get into that.
He was a shrewd businessman.
No, but not shrewd. He was a racist. And so much
well,
so that-
But hold on a second. I'm just talking, take the racist argument out of it.
No, easy for you to do it.
What do you mean easy for me? Well, no, I'm saying that when I'm going back to when he was a young man before he did this.
Yes.
And I'm not going to, but that there we go. I would say that, you know, the Thomas Edison moment, here we go. It's our, you know, it gets into a situation where the value of his hard work and his knowledge.
Yeah,
look.
And the
contribution. Elon Musk, probably a certified creep, right? You're hearing enough stories.
A creepoid.
Yeah.
A creepoid.
We're hearing
enough
stories.
Elon Musk, it wasn't that one moment that we had. I think we all love the electric car. We're all excited about it. But the electric car kind of eased in with the glitterati out in Los Angeles and then became part of
the national consciousness. Reusable rockets.
But was that really a moment collectively where we had that?
You know,
I think the Edison you're talking about, the Edison and the Henry Ford that you're talking about was down the road, but I have no idea about that.
But
we can have the
discussion tangential to that. We don't need to bring that into it because he's talking about
I first of all plead ignorance on that particular fact, but that's what we do.
But
so someone comes in and says, well, he was racist, then that's it. It's over. End of discussion. I'm using Thomas Edison.
Just as
not
an example.
Not as an example of the inventor Thomas Edison and not the
person
a-hole Thomas Edison down the road. And you know more about that than
I do. It's odd you would bring it up as a moment that we could collectively
share. Maybe that's why
he
moved to Lee County, Florida.
Did he do well down there?
Well, no, it was his winter home.
But you bring up something that could have been a huge collective moment, but our belief systems trump facts. You know, we could have had that moment with the COVID vaccine. It could have been that moment.
That's true.
But our beliefs split it to where the fact that people got to think back to, what was it, December of 2020, before we had the vaccine, it was hopeless. Mm-hmm. We didn't have anything to hang our hat on at all. And then for that, about Christmas time, when that vaccine was announced that they had it, and then over the next few months, it became available. That should have been the moment.
Let me just say this.
Or somebody keeps on touching their microphone. Who's doing that?
Is it Matt? I might have been breathing. I apologize.
How about you mute your mic?
I've got it muted right
now. Thank you.
So getting back to the whole thing, what Oscar references, I would imagine you would probably be able to go into a school library. Mm-hmm. And if you did a deep dive, let's say, for example, a college library, and do a deep dive on Thomas Edison and find out that down the road, he, you know, while inventing some amazing things, you know, the motion picture, you know, the recorded music and sound.
The ShamWow.
The ShamWow. He was in a situation where if you do the deep dive, you find out, well, later on, he participated in some very heinous dealings and against minorities in this country, which would be, I'm not sure nowadays that beliefs have trumped the idea of just getting as much knowledge as we can, that you'd be able to read about that in the state of Florida.
I'm not sure.
Because let me share this with you. All right.
All right.
There are 100 books in the state of Florida right now that will have a little warning label.
Yes.
On them.
I thought you were just going to say, in Collier County. That there's 100 books in Florida and that's it.
Right. Right.
No, there's more than that.
This is what it says on the warning. This advisory notice shall serve to inform you that this book has been identified by some community members as unsuitable for students. This book will also be identified in the Destiny system with the same notation. The decision as to whether this book is suitable or unsuitable shall be the decision of the parents. Well, if that's the case, why do you put a sticker on it? Who has the right to oversee his, her child's education consistent with state law. That's Collier County. That's next door. Next door, 15 minutes from where I live. In Collier County Public Schools in Florida, more than 100 books have now been given this label, both online and on physical copies of the books. And the basis for this is, in many cases, religious beliefs. That's what they're talking about. And incidentally, this comes from a bill down here, House Bill 1557, a.k.a. the Don't Say Gay Bill, and House Bill 7, a so-called anti-CRT, critical race theory bill, in the great state of Florida. Both these bills are, excuse me, vaguely worded and confusing, causing districts to scramble to try to comply before the beginning of the school year. Based on beliefs.
Yeah.
Certain people believe these books are bad, bad, bad.
As a child who went to private school, Mike, and felt like the views even then, I graduated, 96 from high school, were askewed within a Jesuit education. That we had friends that were gay that went to the private school, but coming out then was a big deal. And it wasn't as accepted as it is now. I'm thankful that, you know, one of my best friends growing up, we all kind of thought he was gay, but he came out when he was 14, 15. And we all, you know, as the new generation would, accepted and embraced. What was interesting and was the more that, at least within, you know, the time I had in high school, the more that people push back on it, the more we made a bigger deal about it and mm-hmm. educated ourselves about it. And just yeah, like
there's the word.
Yes.
You would in Florida back I was going to say back in the day. I almost slipped and said back in the day. No. Skip forward.
Today.
Yeah.
To now.
Yes.
Right.
How much energy has been given to people's beliefs
yes.
to put a warning label on a book. A warning label on a book. I would propose to you that if you were in an environment where you didn't have access to the knowledge of yeah. what this might be all about, I can only think that the more knowledge you amassed through reading
yes.
might allow you to treat that particular student with much greater understanding and humanity correct. Than if you had warning labels yeah. where mommy or daddy would say, put that down, Johnny. That's not right for but, you. And just a little fact that I'll
please,
throw out at
please.
You. 42% of the books on the list with warning labels are books with LGBTQ characters mm. or themes. 31% of the books on the list are by and about people of yeah. color.
That's
there it is, folks. I'm
speaks
sorry.
Volumes.
Well, it speaks to the fact that this is about bigotry.
Yep.
And if you don't believe that, you're not paying attention. Yeah,
look at the facts.
Yep.
It's what it's all about. It's all about this. You're different. You don't. It's not what I believe. I don't have. And so screw you. I'm going to impose my will and put a warning label on
also,
a book because it makes me feel uncomfortable.
What a waste of resources. Nobody yes. reads anymore.
Right. My little man would doubt that.
He's
got
he's
a room
a Kindle,
full
right?
of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was great to see him walk into his classroom and see all the books on the shelves and the series of history books that he likes to read. But getting back to it, you know, it just, I don't know, man. We don't revere the big things anymore. And it just seems like the people that do all the work and gather all the education, and it's just, they're not, it's just not prioritized. If we had more of a priority, if we had the, you know, the doctors and the scientists and the people that are really doing the work and the people that are in labs producing things, and it was just, maybe we'd get one of those real aha moments and we wouldn't have to wait mm-hmm. All the way from like the light bulb and 1968 with yeah. walking on the moon. What I'm just saying is it seems to me that with everything going on and with the divisions in our society, we are more and more often talking about belief systems and not enough about facts.
Yep.
Facts. All right. And if you're talking about, you know, CRT, as they like to hide it
right.
in their legislation, because you don't want to say critical race theory unless you're in your particular rally where you can get that. Facts would bear out that this is something that should be taught in mm-hmm. school.
Needs to be taught.
So that perhaps we can continue what little progress we've made. And I don't think we've made little progress. I think we've made decent progress. But I think there is such, I mean, all you have to do is look at the last 10 years and know there's an amazingly long way to go on this. So the whole thing I wanted to just say today was I hope before they lay me in the little casket that maybe the pendulum can swing back and we can start thinking about facts a little bit more and what is, you know, really, really right. And not necessarily basing it on the idea that I have a belief system that I cannot verify with any real empirical data, but I can certainly base my entire existence on that belief system that that affects other people. And by the way, I'm all for it if it doesn't affect you. If you're not telling me what to read and what my kids to read, or putting warning yeah. labels on books, which make no mistake is a precursor
of course.
To lighten them on fire. Mm-hmm. And it is predicated. Look at the statistics. 42% and 31%. What do you need? What more do you need to know about that? 31% books on by or about people of color. 42% of the books on the list are books with LGBTQ characters.
What?
That's what scares.
Can you have this conversation?
Yes.
With people outside of this room? Do you feel comfortable having this conversation? you where you live now?
Yes.
And yeah, my what friends, is it? What yeah. is the response?
Well, you have to remember, I've got a small, small circle that I can have mm-hmm. that conversation yeah. with. My friends John and Nancy, four doors down from us, who we socialize with. My friend Mr. Miller, mm-hmm. who and his wife, who has different political views and is extremely religious. I could probably have that conversation with them as well. But there are other, you know, I don't go anywhere right. with that conversation and people yeah. that I know. Based on acquaintanceship, I don't have to dive in.
Miller is documented as like a guy who doesn't even buy into gluten free. You know, like,
I think that Miller is a.
I like you loves, just call him Miller now.
Miller loves to talk, yeah, and Miller loves to debate, and yes. Miller loves to interact
is
with
he
people.
Sometimes
he's good
a,
at it.
A contrarian because of that.
Oh well, he's a contrarian because he's a talk show yeah. host like your brother yeah. sitting mm-hmm. next to you. You know, when I started to unwind, and suddenly I get Thomas Edison. He educated me, but he. My entire argument because I didn't know Thomas Edison was a bigot, but that's my fault. You know why? Because I didn't dive in enough. I didn't do my due diligence on Thomas Edison, but you know what I'm good at? I'm good at doing a little tap dancing yeah. and moving on. And Oscar picked up on the fact right away that it was a greater point that I was right. trying to make. Right. Okay. Because I know it might. It might have sounded at the beginning like I was like writing a love letter to Thomas Edison.
No.
And I'm sure you
like
thought that too at
like,
the beginning. What's he doing? Like, whoa. Is he very? Hey, no, so, I'm just talking about you know, facts.
While we're
you know,
talking about science. Books, I feel I should mention this. I'm in touch with one of my college professors still.
Yes.
She was great. She was really.
She deflowered you.
She did not do that. How dare
in the
you?
Office. I thought she deflowered you in the office in her study.
Yes. And she with a long cigarette on a holder and a, yeah. and a velvet gown.
And she had like a one of those. What are those?
A settee?
Yeah, I thought it was.
It was Mike. It was a fainting couch.
I thought it was a cloche.
No, it was not a cloche.
But the story goes, folks, that back at Virginia Commonwealth University, when right. Rob was a young lad, he enrolled in an art class, and to subsidize his education, he not only worked at the local Safeway, but he also. Nude modeled for mm-hmm. art classes. And
yeah, well, I got the role because I could pose in the nude and it would still be only PG rated.
Didn't you ask Jack to paint you like the French girls?
Yes, I did. All that being said, this professor has been very cool to me through the years and has been in touch. And she posted something and she
sorry,
didn't
I'm
mention,
wrestling with my microphone. I apologize. Right.
She didn't mention where. I imagine Florida would be a pretty good guess, though. Mm. That certain schools have also pulled aside and prohibited the reading of The Diary of Anne Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And all I say to that is this. When you start preventing kids from knowing what really happened, that's a recipe for danger. Yeah. And it can be CRT, and it could be LGBTQ yeah. issues, or it could be...
I think it's I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. I hope I've got
yeah,
the
title that's the name
title
of the book,
right.
yeah.
Maya Angelou, yes. you know, that book's mm-hmm. on the warning list too. You know, and that's a heavy duty book.
It is,
for,
but
you know, for kid, for children. But at the same time, putting a warning label on something
you,
from that brilliant mind, and
you can't do it.
Can
you
can't
even pretend
read the
it
Bell Jar anymore?
That's I don't know suicide, if that's on the list. Right? I don't know. I really Weathering don't Heights? Know if that's on the list. I'd love to get the full list, and maybe I'll gather that.
Kingston?
You know, it's crazy.
It is
crazy. But just. Maybe we will get to a point where facts matter again.
I hope
you know,
so.
And, yeah. and beliefs are not taking
well,
such
not
a priority.
In Wyoming.
I'm sorry. The not in Wyoming.
No.
By the way, I could see that bumper sticker on my car. I'm sorry, but I could. Mm-hmm. I like bravery. I really do. I love bravery in this world.
Hell yeah.
And you know what? Bridging a gap, even if I don't agree with all her policies. Hi, Liz. Sorry about the loss, but... You know what? Maybe bigger and better things for you. Who
Could
knows?
Be.
We'll see. But there are a lot of them. By the way, a lot of Democrats feel that. But anywho, getting back to the whole point, I just hope we can skew back someday. And when you've got people that are tremendously informed by their religions.
Supreme Court.
As opposed to their book learning, it freaks me a little bit.
And to say, so you're,
that's
you're,
my speech today.
You're free to have religion. That's fine.
I mean, religion does a lot for people and does some good, yeah. does some horrible things
sure,
as well.
Sure, it does.
It's religion, you know.
He's an atheist, you know.
He's a card-carrying yeah. atheist, yes. And as we discussed
club.
In our as we discussed in our text thread today, a tremendous supporter of Saudi Arabia, which
loves
it. Loves them too.
Yeah,
Mike. I don't know where Oscar gets his little but they make my ass laugh.
That was a good exchange. Little show
my
before
son
the
comes
show.
Over. Yeah, my son comes over. I'm looking at my voice. What's that? Is this T.O. Oscar sent a picture of a Saudi driving on
two wheels
in his G wagon? Eddie, hey, we got to bring our talking head.
Let's do that right now
because I was flapping my gums. I didn't mean to go that long. Our talking head. Oh, I know this lady. She's been a fan of the show for a long time. Sharon Bailey.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo.
Sharon Bailey has been listening to us since 1992, is an avid podcast listener for the past 8 years. Feels like it's longer than that. She is a divorcee with one daughter, 80 or a it's 80. She's 18. And she is about to start college. She lives in picturesque Cambridge, Maryland. That is pretty down there.
Love it. Yeah.
Down the ocean. Down toward the ocean here, hon. Sharon is, oh my God, look at that backdrop. I'd like to be there right now.
Venice.
Is that Venice? Is that Venice?
No, it looks like the Annapolis Harbor.
It is.
No, it
is.
Annapolis.
Hey, how about that? Do I get credit? Do I get credit for that? Pretty good, huh? Yeah,
full credit.
Pretty good. Sharon is one of our signature O'Mara chicks and a frequent contributor to the TMOS social media. She calls herself a non-influential influencer. She went to both Vegas shows and is a Carla O'Mara Derm Glow Skin customer.
Yes,
yay!
Yes.
In her past, Sharon was a radio DJ, and she managed a Taco Bell. Ooh, Taco Bell. Now she works in Easton, Maryland for the United States Postal Service as a senior business network specialist. I love the Eastern Shore. And you're about to get into that time on the Eastern Shore, which was my favorite time to be there, which is the fall. It's absolutely spectacular. Let's see. She has been with the USPS for 26 years. She is a TMOS fruitcake angel who made sure you got your cake. She helped us with fruitcakes.
She always does.
She loves going to the bad place. So do I. That's a gambling emporium, folks. And despite years of research, she still loses money. But nobody likes a quitter. She is a diehard Weird Al Yankovic fan. She has been to over 40 Weird Al Yankovic concerts, several Alcons. I didn't know they even had that. And she's a member of Close Personal Friends of Al. I had no idea, Sharon. Let's see. She just completed volunteering for the Trek Across Maryland, which raised $109,000 to help kids in treatment for cancer. We're going to stop the bio for a second to give you a round of applause for that. Her favorite part of the show is when we play games on the bonus show. I'm sorry, but I know Sharon loves the Baltimore accent, so I have to do it for her. And Sharon once accosted Jay Leno at a red light. Intrigued? You should be. Now here's Sharon. Hi, Sharon Bailey. How are you?
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing?
How are things in Venice today? Are you enjoying the Italian
Venice
sunshine?
Beautiful.
It's very
it's
sunny
a
there.
A little drizzly, but
we love it.
It looks drizzly there. It really does. That's great. How are you, Sharon Bailey? And thanks for coming on.
I'm well. I'm just fresh back from 2 weeks of vacation, 1 week of which was doing the Maryland Trek with Justin Burke, and that was a big challenge, and we rose to the occasion on that. I'm really excited about that.
So. Now, tell me about that. So the Trek Across Maryland, raising $109,000 to help kids in treatment for cancer. I know Rob's near and dear to Rob's heart with that one. What was that all about? Was that just like you walked across the state? How did that work?
I ran support. So basically my little car drove behind the team that was biking and hiking across the state. They started at Wisp Mountain and they end up in Ocean City 7 days later. So we stop every night in different cities. Justin Burke and his team, he almost lost his leg when he was 14 to cancer. His wife is also an avid. They created a 501c3 called Just Empower Kids. And that's what this money goes towards, fixing bridging the gaps between things that the insurance doesn't cover, such as like parking vouchers at the hospitals, foods, meals, pajamas, you know, any of that kind of stuff that you know, you don't think about that you would normally need.
I got to jump in here and say what a really unrecognized need that is. If you have a child who's in the hospital and you have to go there every day for 30 days, which we did with Robert, parking is sometimes $14, $16, $18 a day. And you think about that.
At Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't, insurance doesn't touch it. Mm. And this organization helps the people get to the hospital so they can be with their child. That's and cool. It's just such an amazing thought.
I would imagine when I hear you talking about that, that had to be a stone cold blast to participate in that, right? Because the thing I found, when you go collectively with a group of people on anything, it can be a mission trip for a church. It can be something where you're really digging in
Sturgis.
And diving into a service volunteer situation. Yeah, it's just such goodwill. You're around good people. You're around givers. And yes. it has to be an awful, great energy around that.
Well, and we're also, there's a handful of us that are all health coaches too. So it was, the energy level was insane for this because you're covering, 25 to 50 miles a day. But the best part about it, Mike, you'll like this, the way they get across the Bay Bridge is Annapolis Boat Sales comes over and brings over a triple boater center console. And we get to ride over as support, pick them up at the Annapolis dock, and do a couple loop-de-loos around the bridge.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's
the best
fun.
Part of the highlight of the, after going through the mountains and sludging through. It was the coldest one we've ever had this year because it was like 67 and rain and terrible. We were hung up for a couple hours.
And on the water, subtract 10 degrees for that when you go out on the water with that. That's,
but the water trip made it all worth it because the sun was shining and we're just, it's just.
Oh, that's awesome. So I got to hear about, because I didn't know this. I've met you a few, many times actually. And we'll get to the Weird Al thing in a second. At Weird Al, who I always thought looked exactly like a DJ that Rob and I knew. You knew Bean, right? Did you know Bean? Did you ever get a chance to meet Gene Baxter?
I never met Bean.
Kevin and Bean out in L.A. I worked with Gene.
An expat now.
Yeah.
Oh, is he really?
He left the country when Trump was elected.
I remember that.
That's right. He left.
He literally left.
The country. He's a weird guy. Had a
stuffed
animal that he walked around.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, an Ewok, had a tarantula in the studio. It was weird dude. But nice guy. And I got really loaded one night, and I think I insulted his wife. It's a long story. I'll tell it some other time.
I think I did.
But it was men out of love and admiration. Just, perhaps not. You certainly couldn't get away with that today, with my compliment. Okay. we'll move on from that. So you accosted Jay Leno at a red light. What the hell is the deal with that?
My sister and I were out in Los Angeles. She was on The Price is Right and still did the race game, all that kind of stuff.
That's
and
funny
we
right
stopped
there.
At a red light, and I look over to my right and I can see the reflection of our rental car in Jay Leno's green roadster thing with the top down. I don't know what it's called. It's like a 40s.
One of his exotic cars, right?
Exactly.
I looked over and I was like, hey, Jay. He's like, hey, how you doing?
He probably. You're not taking that chitty chitty bang bang car out on the streets of LA if you don't want to get spotted, right?
Of course, yeah.
I think he probably digs it. He probably gets off on it. I mean, why not? He earned it, right? Yeah. He earned his fame. He's out there, just taking it out of people.
Anytime you get away from Mavis, Mike.
Yeah. What would you have done if you'd looked over?
I totally get that. It's just like running around and showing off a little bit. It's fun.
Sure. What if he'd looked out there and said, oh, Sharon Bailey. It's great to see you. I had no idea. What are you doing in L.A.? Oh, your sister's here for The Price is Right? Well, I'll call Television City and hopefully pull a few strings. And maybe she can get on the Showcase Showdown. Yeah. I'm Jay Leno. That should be a lot of fun.
Mike.
Yes.
Can I bring up something about USPS? It's a compliment outside of the work that Sharon does. When we were in Utah for that conference, we were able to meet one of your, chief marketing officers for USPS. And the fact that, I don't know if you know this, Mike, that United States Postal Service is ahead of its curve. Everyone thinks it's it's old school. They've actually minted NFTs. Of stamps that are within their collection. It blew my mind.
And does that mean, what's that going to do? Is that going to help them out? I always hear they're in danger or something.
I think they're subsidized by the government, if I'm not mistaken, so they're never going anywhere, right? Isn't that like a constitutional right?
She's shaking her head. Tell us the truth. What is it? Okay. What?
First off, let me clarify. I am not allowed to speak on behalf of the Postal Service in my position, so I can tell you what I know, but I'm not a rep for the
Gotcha. All right. We're not attributing anything to you.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, No, I just lost the train of thought.
That's right.
You said talking about NFTs.
Yeah, I thought you guys were like Amtrak.
Yeah, we're tax dollars. I mean, the money we make on stamps and packages and, you know, the large customers like your Kohl's, your Amazon's, your Sephora's, all that kind of stuff. But that's our money. And in fact, the law had just recently changed where they got rid of PIA. And we were the only organization in the federal government that had to pre-fund retirees that we did not hire yet. That got struck down. So that will be, you know, we have a 10-year Delivering for America plan. And those are part of the goals of reduction.
Okay. Yeah. So are you private or are you government?
We're government.
Okay.
Yeah, it's government.
All right, just to clarify.
It's U.S.
It's quasi, though. We don't have the same pay scales and all that kind of stuff. We don't follow contracting the same way they do.
Got it.
You've been working there for 26 years?
Yep. I started as a clerk. Then I went out on the street, carried mail, got attacked by three pit bulls and said, hell with this. I'm done with that.
three times same pit bull or three different pit bulls?
The last loop and the dogs were loose on the street and they came all together. And just as I went to go back into the truck, they were like,
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's scary. That's good. All right, let me get to the problem here. Why the obsession with Weird Al? What is the by the way, I get it. I understand. I'm not going to dismiss people for who they think is funny. I mean, if you're somebody who wants to sit in the friggin' front row to see Gallagher, you know, I used to do that too. Didn't he buy it?
I am a comedy person.
I'll check.
Okay. I love to laugh. And honestly, I'm a child of the 80s. I was there when MTV first rolled out. And as you know, the videos, he was big.
Yeah, Weird Al was an icon.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And he's like a kindergarten teacher. Every album, his fan base is bigger and bigger and bigger. And a lot of people don't know he does do his own original hits. And in fact, this tour that I just went and saw him in Richmond in News last week, while I was on vacation. Down by Julia and stopped at the bad place. Neither here nor there.
Right.
That was all the originals. You know, we did a whole slim down set. No fats. No eat it. Mm-hmm. It was all. You know, Babies in Love with Eddie Vedder and all kinds of other things. Like that, so. I sent you his book for your son. He's a four-time Grammy.
The Weird Al. You sent that, right? You sent that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is the greatest children's book. It's one of my all-time favorites. Rob sent me the longest one that I ended up loving as well, which was what the hell's
good
the
night
one?
Alcohol.
It was a panda. It was something with a panda
bear.
Yeah.
Oh god, you don't remember it?
No,
he was hammered when he ordered it.
No, I wasn't. I was sober, but then I drank in celebration. Mike Gallagher, or his real name, Leo Anthony Gallagher Jr., is age 76 and alive and living in Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Hey, welcome to Storytime.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
Oh. What? Gallagher.
Why are you
is
talking
alive?
About Gallagher?
Gallagher's
moved
still
past
alive. You asked he's still alive. He's not, you
I thought he was dead and his brother was doing this.
No, his brother does like a scaled down show he can cover as many markets, but he's still alive. He's with us.
Okay. So the book that I read my kid was When I Grow Up by Weird Al, and it was fantastic. I loved it. And the one you were was Stillwater was the panda.
Yeah.
And let me tell you a story. And you said you read it to your kids.
I don't remember.
All right. Well, you're younger than I am.
Yeah, but my kids are older than yours.
Addled.
Yeah. Mike, it was 20 years ago for Julia.
I know. I'm just trying to. I want to give you props, Sharon, so people might pick up the book.
While Mike
looks
up the name of the book, let me ask you this. Right. What it for people out there that don't understand enough about like what mail carriers have to go through, and I know you're not speaking for USPS. Like, what's something nice? Is it a water, a cold water, a beverage? Like, what's something nice we can do?
Yeah, how do you treat them?
Yeah, water, snacks. I mean, we have ethics rules, so technically we can't accept anything over $20, no gift cards or wine or anything like that.
Yes. She's winking. She's winking, everybody.
But offline, like, we should tip our mail carriers. Right, yeah. Okay.
So,
fair enough.
But $20 is the official limit, so if you exceed that, you're
I
like...
I believe ethics is... $20. Yeah.
I don't know about
Zen
that.
Shorts.
Zen that, shorts.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Now it sounds
Zen,
familiar.
Zen shorts it is with that. So Weird Al, how many times have you seen him?
It's between 30 and 40. I'm not one of those people that keeps track of all my ticket stubs. I mean, I have.
So if you're in the audience, if you're in the audience for Weird Al and he's like, I lost on Jeopardy, are you just like going, ah!
God. Yeah, You know, it's kind of hard to do that in some places, but yeah, this whole time I was doing a lot of this.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I mean, I did get to help him out for 2 weeks in, back in like 2006. Wardrobe assistant had hurt her back, and I wound up basically being an intern for 2 weeks on a handful of shows, running him around to media and stuff like that. And so he knows my name and everything. It's not like it's
you guys are friends.
Yeah. And I love following you on social because you talk about all your travels. You travel unbelievably. You go everywhere. You've been all over the world, lots of Europe. You've been to Australia, you've been to Venice, you've been to Iceland. Is there, I always ask people that are extensively traveled, you have a chance to go back to one place. Before you go to your great reward, what place would it be?
Italy, hands down.
Italy.
I'm ready to go back in a minute. It's the most gorgeous country in different parts. I went on a bus tour through there. We had like 3 nights in Rome and then drove up the countryside to Pisa and then across to Venice. And on that bus, there was a lady first off, our tour guide was a singer. Then we had an opera singer in there. So everybody got along. I mean, we're driving by, she's singing Ave Maria as we're driving by the birthday cake, you know, the big thing in Rome and the Trevi Fountains. And
sure.
All it was like when you, I don't have an aha moment, but when we landed in Venice and we got in those little gondolas, it was just like, oh, this is
cool.
That is
and
cool.
then when the box lunches were served, you say, "Who wants a peanut butter and jelly? Hey, lady of the frobee."
I had the best food out there. I can't even have tiramisu over here anymore because I had such a good tiramisu over there that it's like nothing lives up to that.
And the pasta over there, much simpler and much better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so hungry. I'm always hungry because I'm fat. Yeah. Anyway, we got to go. Is anybody you'd like to say hello to, Sharon Bailey, before we let
God,
you go?
Oh, my God, the list. Well, I'm
okay,
trying to
go for
the
it.
List. Just shout out to the fan club, the TMOS beer enthusiast clubs, mm-hmm. including Jeff Brown, Matt, Jim, Jeff Hancock, Tiffany, David, Noah for putting up with all my shenanigans, the wine enthusiast club. Missy Booker and all her Zooms. We all kind of just, I like to have fun. I like to volunteer. I like to do this kind of
you're,
stuff.
You're one of the good ones.
Anything I can do you are.
To help out with you guys, you know, it's
you're a good egg.
A thing for me. It's, I really like the show. And Oscar's cake. I love Oscar.
It's so great to have you. Did I cut you off? Do you have more?
You didn't start playing the music at
she
the,
loved
at the
Oscar's,
Oscars yeah. But, you know, you've got Jim and Twitch and, you know, the whole gang of, I'm sorry, the Americhicks who be in, Lena, you know, mm-hmm. everybody, and Stephanie Larson, the best roommate ever from Vegas, I will tell you what. It's just, we have such a good time. And that whole thing with Robin Ferguson and Jolene and everybody, we're all like a convention. We all get together. So if you're doing the show and you're going to have it,
ask the man.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Ask the man. He's working on it.
We're all ready to go.
Literally wagging her finger at us.
Like, come on, you guys.
Come on, you guys.
And before we let you go, say goodbye to us with one of your, you do the Baltimore accent because you're the Baltimore accent. Go ahead. All right.
Hey, hon, we're going down the ocean. Cousin Billy's down there. He's got some crabs, don't you know?
Thank you, Sharon. We appreciate it. My God, we are running so late. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We love you. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the homepage. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. Down the ocean, English is fried chicken, natty bow, there we are. Okay?
Okay.
This show is just fine. We'll be right back.
Live from Fort Myers, it's the West South Florida Kennel Club Dog Show.
Hello, fans. I'm Twitch, along with Jim Amato, and we're calling the action live.
We're down to the final four dogs, and we still have some surprising contenders.
With the final four, an Irish Setter, a Bolivian Hairless, a huge Spiewak Mastiff, and a Mexican Longhair Chihuahua.
Can you believe they eat these dogs in some countries?
That's right, Jim. By the way, the Spiewak Mastiff is the largest dog we've ever had in competition.
That's dog with two G's.
It sure is, Jim.
It looks like the handler is having some trouble with the Chihuahua.
Shut up, Frankie!
Oh, that's too bad. That'll knock him out of the competition. The judge is taking one last look, and there it is. The winner is the Mike O'Mara Bonus Best in Show.
Get a subscription today at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Until next year, this is Jim Amato and Twitch saying,
Who's a good boy?
Who's a good boy? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, the other day when I was walking out of my house and I noticed that my neighbor was using my hose and running it through a Roundup thing on his hose,
yeah.
I said, oh, that's okay, although I really didn't think it was okay. I thought he should have maybe knocked on the door before he took the liberty. But as I was driving down, I said, you know, if I wasn't so pissed at him, I might have recommended he try Sunday.
Sunday is
what he should use on his lawn if it has weeds, bare patches, pet spots. Sunday can help you solve all these problems and more the easy way. And then perhaps you only have to, you know, use it much less often than you would when you're stealing
superior product.
They've got everything you need, from fertilizer to seeds to weed control, and it's all delivered right to your door. I used to dread taking the time and effort to fertilize my lawn. Now I look forward to it. Sunday's lawn care products are quick, they're easy, and I didn't even have to go to the store. They deliver it to you. Sunday's custom lawn care is the best. Go to GetSunday.com, put in your address. They will do an analysis on your lawn. They do the rest for you. They use the soil and climate data to create a personal nutrient plan. It's delivered right to your front door when you need it. Sunday's lawn care products are made with your family in mind. They use good stuff, ingredients you can feel good about, seaweed, iron, and molasses. For God's sakes, don't eat the stuff, but I think you probably could.
Don't do it.
Best of all, it really works. I've used it. I have. I've used it up in Maine, and I know. Here's what I want you to do. Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off. Full season plans start at $129, and you can get 20% off at checkout when you visit GetSunday.com/TMOS. That's 20% off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS. And now my thing is not working as usual.
Mike, your hose story reminded me. I saw a great meme on Facebook, and it was someone had was watering their lawn, and they had photoshopped out the hose, and they wrote under it, Bluetooth dispenser. So it just looked like a handle squirting water with no hose on it. Mm-hmm. They said, it's Bluetooth, and then someone commented, did you buy it?
How does your neighbor confuse your hose with his hose?
He doesn't confuse it at all. He just takes it.
I'm so brave, I'm letting my wife handle it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
Worthless story number one, ladies and gentlemen. Mariah Carey is trying to trademark the phrase Queen of Christmas. And a lot of people think she deserves it on the merit of All I Want for Christmas Is You. But a woman named Elizabeth Chan filed a legal opposition to her claim. Elizabeth is a singer who exclusively does Christmas music. She even calls herself, you guessed it, the Queen of Christmas. Chan isn't greedy. She's not trying to usurp the title for herself, and she's not trying to keep Mariah from using it, but she wants to prevent Mariah from being the only person who can use it. And I think it's Christmas, and they ought to have a sit-down and take it out of court and just move on.
Isn't it the person with the most money wins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm on Team Mariah.
That's right.
Shut that bitch down.
Mike, you like a winner, don't you?
I like the winners. Absolutely. All I want for Christmas is you to get out of court. There you go.
That'll be her defense.
Darlene Love, she weighed in too. In a Facebook post, Darlene Love, sang. What's that song on Letterman that she sang all the time?
Christmas, baby, please
Christmas, come home. Christmas, please. David Letterman officially declared me the Queen of Christmas 29 years ago, a year before Mariah released All I Want for Christmas. Anyway, I'm not changing anything. I've been in the business for 52 years, have earned it, and can still hit those notes. Oh, yeah, she can. You saw her live, right?
I kissed her.
You kissed her? Oh, really? Tongue?
Yes, and then she deflowered me again.
Okay, if Mariah has a problem, call David or my lawyer. That's what Darlene loves.
That's the call David Letterman wants.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you
see
him
Christmas.
With his 2-foot beard?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Darlene, look, no time for that right now. Good luck with your litigation, though. Appreciate that. Joe Jonas, any story I have in the news, some days it's like this.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about for entertainment value for you, the listener. I'm talking about entertainment value for me, Mr. Mike O'Mara, okay? When I have to start a news story with that Joe Jonas, I'm not a happy camper.
No.
Okay? I'm really not. He's only 33, and he's already using fillers. But at least he's not trying to hide it. Well, God bless him real good. He's now a spokesman for a cosmetic injectable called Jomin. And he says, quote, I don't think it's necessarily something that we have to shy away from. Okay, love to hear.
Yeah, what did Carrie get? Jomin?
She got whatever the Jonas Brothers likes. That's
she
her
got
favorite.
14 hours on a table.
Yeah, but she's getting fillers now.
Well, not yet. Not yet, but she will.
Yeah, but the first one was the long one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I thought that was the last one.
With plastic surgeon, Dr. Redo.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's
hey,
like,
what could be better than having Robert De Niro play a gangster in your mob movie? How about having Robert De Niro play two gangsters in your mob movie? Huh. I say no. No. Get two actors to play them.
Yeah.
In the upcoming film. Now, listen, this movie's got some credentials, though. It's called Wise Guys. De Niro will play a real-life rival mobster, Vito Genovese, and Frank Costello, the two roles.
Yeah. He plays them both?
What's going on? What's going on with The Irishman and now Wise Guys, where he's playing two?
You know who should be playing those roles are the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, with their fillers.
Yeah, lots of fillers.
Genovese tried to have Costello killed, and while the attempt failed, it basically forced Costello into retirement. So, in other words, you could say that in the movie, De Niro will try to whack himself. Hey. But here's the cred. It will be directed by Barry Levinson, I believe an American University graduate.
Oh.
He's the guy that did Rain Man, The Natural, and Good Morning Vietnam. Mm. So it's got a great director. Yeah. But I don't get it. I don't understand why you're using De Niro.
Why
for
highlight
two roles?
That he's playing two roles? It never really works.
It doesn't work. And is
you're
it?
Like, he sounds cheap.
As a mafia movie, like, a guy that runs to the theater to see these movies, that doesn't make me
Does
excited,
one of the mafia bosses perhaps have a mustache?
I don't know. We'll have to check. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Thin Mints are the most popular Girl
so
Scout
good.
Cookie. Are you a fan, Rob?
Oh, yeah.
I put them ahead of Samoa.
It's number one stunner.
Well, how about a spinoff? Huh?
Bring it.
Fat Mints?
Sometimes I love it when this show really does sound like the evening news. How about a spinoff?
The Girl Scouts
just unveiled their newest cookie. It's a raspberry version of Thin Mints, minus the mint, of course.
Yeah.
They're called Raspberry Rallies, and they're billing them as a sister cookie to Thin Mints.
Sister cookie.
They look identical on the outside, but the inside is bright pink. All right. So does that mean they're black on the outside?
Yeah, well, they're chocolate.
You can't get them yet, but they'll be joining the lineup next year, and you won't have to wait too long. Their site has a countdown ticker that says they'll be out in early January, and they'll also be the Girl Scouts' first online exclusive cookie.
Respectfully,
I like those. Yeah,
they can off with this cookie.
Yeah, well, thanks for saying it respectfully.
Hey, not on this show, pal.
Mike.
Not on this show.
Every time we hear one of these things, this is August. Unless it's on the shelf in September, don't talk to me about these new cookies.
Although you have to admit that raspberry and chocolate is a good pairing.
Sounds terrible.
No, raspberry and chocolate
now,
is a good
pairing. Now. Yeah. The next story is about CDs. I'll defer to Rob Spiewak and I'll let him talk about it.
All right, today
he
is
has
the
information.
Well, I was going to say today is the 40th.
I thought you were going to do it on your Soundtown. I still have a news story to read here. I got my kicker in my hand. That's what I meant. But what do you want to talk about it now?
It wasn't a Soundtown thing. It was
have Soundtown. Okay, what is it? It's the anniversary.
The 40th anniversary of the CDs, Jackson.
That's exciting. Stuff.
Yeah, that's
great.
The first one was Billy Joel's 52nd Street.
Hey, here's a great story that'll help everybody out. Here's the 40th anniversary of something we don't use anymore. Yeah. Rebecca Butcher, a little something something for you now. She is a woman who only grew one boob, and she is virally displaying her uneven endowment in a series of TikTok testimonials. I like TikTok testimonials.
I like that.
Isn't that nice? Here's her quote. I noticed that when I went through puberty, one of my boobs was growing and the other one wasn't. So I went to my doctor and they said, you haven't finished going through puberty yet. It's fine. It's nothing. It'll grow. It's normal for women to have one boob bigger than the other, blah, blah, blah. Come back if it hasn't changed in a few years. She said I was having to stuff my bra with socks and wear turtlenecks to hide it because I didn't want anybody to know. One of Rebecca's admirers said, I am so impressed that you can talk about this so calmly. This whole process sounds like a nightmare. Glad you found online support systems. In a separate post with 3.2 million views, she said that she doesn't want an implant, and she poked fun at how frequently doctors offer a boob job as a solution for her lopsidedness.
Sure.
She, after the interview that she did, she tried to walk home, but she was unsuccessful since she could only walk in a circle.
Mike.
That's terrible. I don't know why I said that. I'm just having a little fun.
Mike, thoughts and prayers.
She just, you know, yeah, get out of the parking lot.
We get it. We get it. Though the implants are completely different now.
In what way? I
mean, yeah. Well, they're so much better than what they were in the past.
Oh, mine aren't. We'll be right back.
The fields and stadia across America are silent for the moment. However, on practice fields, the teams are beginning their march towards glory for a shot at the championship in Glendale, Arizona, this coming February. Another football season is on the cusp. And a solitary figure is in the West analyzing the statistics, schedules, and teams, ready to make his voice heard. The prognosticator of Perump is returning.
In the no, baby!
This fall on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. you know what I'm doing? We're late. We're so super late that I'm just trying to fly
through
breath.
This. It's okay.
Cornerstone First Financial. Great people, great price. Mm-hmm. It's a good time to buy a home right now. No, that's Orsman Dodge.
Friends?
What's wrong with me? This is the part of the show that I need to refocus on so I don't get lost. If you're wondering if right now is a good time to buy a home, well, according to my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, it's a great time to buy a home. Inventory is back to pre-pandemic levels, so it's a great chance to marry the house but date the rate. Get it? You want to keep the rate around temporarily. That means as rates change, you can lock in now to protect against higher rates. And once you're locked in, if rates go down, you refi. That's it. You refinance your mortgage to lower your monthly payments. Residential lending has changed. And whether you're a first-time home buyer, debating rent versus own, upsizing, downsizing, or anything in between, you need a team that knows your specific options and can get you the absolute best deal. With their years of experience, customer service, and low-rate guarantee, these guys are the best. We love them. They're our friends at Cornerstone First Financial, and they've done all of our loans. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call the Cornerstone First Financial team today. The number one mortgage company of TMOS, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. I am fascinated because Oscar fleetingly, very briefly, talked about a new airline website that I'm about to make some flight reservations for next year, and I just the window just opened for that, and I'm very curious.
Aren't
what you
flying
were
from
about.
Your home to Tampa?
Yeah, no, I'm actually flying from here to where is the place we're going to? It's a little town called Orlando.
Mike.
No, I'm not.
Beautiful.
I'm not going. All right.
Type into your browser AeroLopa.com. AeroLopa.com. This is not a paid sponsorship.
Come fly with me. Let's fly.
How many times
let's fly away.
Have you purchased a ticket? And then you get on the plane,
right.
And you're like, "Oh man, this is not even a window on my in my aisle. This is just plastic." And I got half a window, and I got half a window. I bought a window seat, and the windows, I just got the bridge in between.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't line up.
Or you go and you sit down, and you're like, this looks nothing like the plane I thought I was going to be on."
Right.
I'm a Southwest cheap guy, so everyone looks the same. They look like they're old planes. You get in, and I always get the middle seat.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm all about seating on airplanes.
But
that's why I'm
for those in the know.
In the no.
And that have the funds, this website allows you to find the seats and the floor plan of the plane you'll be sitting on. So when you choose your seat, you'll actually see a graphical representation of the plane you're sitting in.
And I'm on it right now, and it's a better one than the generic ones.
Well,
that
when
they
you
give
buy
you
a ticket, and it's just you have to click on a gray seat, right? Because that's the one that's not taken.
As soon as
I
saw this, they said, "Well, who would care about this? My friend Mike O'Mara."
Yes, you're right.
I'm all about the seating plan, and my family tortures me, especially when I'm with Carla and Michael. Yeah. Because they know I like the window seat, and they don't care. And so they'll always say to me, it's like, "Okay, I've got the window, Dad." Michael's so cute. He'll go, "I've got the window, Dad." I like that every single time.
You are a window guy. You have been as long as I've known you.
I like to be aware.
In the no.
Yeah. In the no, baby. and that's why, and also, you know, the one thing that didn't go over is when every plane would land after a long flight, for me, nobody liked it anymore. I used to go, light him up! There's a little smoke. Tribute to Nicky Diamond. But I would have my face literally pressed up, especially if there was overcast and we're coming through the clouds. I would literally be almost pressing my face, smushing
it up against the window. Did you ever see like a goblin on the wing or anything?
I did. And then I suddenly turned into John Lithgow. And I said, please, land this plane. Land this plane. There's somebody out there. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill me.
I appreciate you doing the 30-year-old reference instead of the 60-year-old reference of William Shatner.
That's right. No, the definitive. Lithgow. Shatner was good. Lithgow. Just decided. Remember that girl, that little girl that was on what was the movie? Twilight Zone, the movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Please help me. There's a terrible creature out there. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Not a bad movie when it's all said and done. It was a pretty good film.
Oh, and then the end of the movie, like when Dan Aykroyd's driving the ambulance. He goes, you want to see something really scary?
Because it pays off the earlier scene with Albert Brooks.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the movie's 70 years old.
I've never seen it.
Making sense of airline seat maps. Is it a booking service or is it just that?
It just gives you a reference
point. It's a courtesy.
All right. That's cool.
I was shocked.
That's perfect. That's
like.
So A-E-R-O LOPA. We're not getting compensated for that. LOPA. So you can see.
Mike only books flights on planes that have spiral staircases. He only flies 747s.
Mike, you talk about being in the know and doing the research. I always felt like when you book a plane and they tell you it's a window seat, it should be a window.
Right.
And when you get on, like half the time, I'm like, I see like a forehead stain on there.
Ugh.
And then I got to clean that off so I can put my forehead on there.
Right.
But
it's so cool. It's so cool because they're so animated.
So detailed.
Know? It is.
So when I saw this, I was like, well, at least now I know if we get this and Shannon does all the booking, at least she'll know exactly what we're getting.
That's cool.
Right?
Especially and it's all the different airlines, too, because they have different configurations. Yeah. So right now I'm on an Embraer 175 operated by Horizon Air and SkyWest Airlines, and it's got all the rows. How many rows on this little thing? Only 21. That's a little baby. Mm-hmm. Right here. Little regional jet. And very, very cool.
Also,
you can almost see, you know, when you get – like if you're in row 6 on an Embraer 175 – and you're not flying first class, you decide to slide into that first row of coach, A, B, C, or D, get C, because then the little break is a little bit longer. Get extra leg room.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
There it is. I like that. We got a break. I'm sorry. I'm trying to move the show along, baby.
Time to do it, baby.
We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And I will try to focus on the show because now I'm looking at every plane in the world to see what their seating arrangement is.
I would sit there.
Absolutely. We'll be right back.
Hey, ladies, that's Twitch.
And that handsome devil is a motto. And we're back with more TMOS True or False.
Oh, my goodness.
The character of Polly Christine is played by renowned British actor Jude Law.
Hey, that's friggin' unbelievable.
As a child, Ponyboy Matt Bloom appeared on Sesame Street in an episode where he was taught to count by a Muppet.
That's right. And that's all.
Trip Affleck single-handedly beat Bobby Flay in a cooking competition by preparing a bowl of cereal, buttered toast, and a glass of ice water.
Correctamundo.
You save when you shop online at Target and Walmart through the shopping center at MikeOMaraShow.com.
That's the fact, Jack!
Have your purchases shipped to your door or pick them up at the store.
Click that banner and buy!
So those guys are fantastic.
Out of their
this
minds.
Podcast is sponsored, ladies and gentlemen, by BetterHelp. Life is full of twists and turns, and it's always important to show up for yourself. Let me tell you about BetterHelp. It's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They will assess your needs, and they can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. BetterHelp is professional therapy done securely online and it's available to people worldwide. You can log into your account anytime. You can send a message to your therapist. You can also schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't have to be on camera if you don't feel like it, if you don't want to. With therapy, you can take a few tries to find the right fit for you. Anybody that's done it, and I've done a lot of it, I know this. BetterHelp makes it easy and free to change therapists if you need to. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp is a great way to invest in yourself. Now more than ever, I believe in therapy, and BetterHelp is always there for you. Best of all, they are accessible when you need them, and they have a special offer for our listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/TMOS. That's 10% off your first month of online therapy at betterhelp.com/TMOS. And I am very, very proud to have them as an advertiser on this podcast. They're good folks, and they're helping a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And take advantage of it. If you've never thought about doing it, I know for a fact I've done that. And by the way, years and years ago, before there were places like BetterHelp, I got great therapy without ever being in an office, just talking to a person on the phone. And it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, and I really enjoyed that time together.
It was how you met Oscar.
Oscar, yeah. It was Oscar who didn't even know each other that well. Yeah. No, he'd come to the restaurant.
But he would always say the same thing. One time. Be a winner.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody loves a winner.
Why did I write down Cocktail Corner?
Because I have a bit for you entitled Cocktail Corner, Mike.
Oh, okay. Cocktail Corner. Is this the music?
This is the music for Cocktail Corner.
There's something... Is it an oxymoron that you're running Cocktail Corner?
A little bit, but you know, I still enjoy the science of mixing libations.
This is a drinking song. This is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, right?
Right. It's you and me, and the bottle.
And the bottle makes three.
Exactly.
Yeah, baby. I know this. Yeah. All right, baby. Yeah. Yeah. We'll let him do it. I mean, this is probably this is like why when I'm on a diet, I watch the Food Network.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oscar.
Well, this is actually.
I don't know. I've never been an alcoholic.
This is. It's great. You should try it.
Your brother's very cruel. He's very, very cruel.
He's not my brother. Not even close.
Okay.
We had a lady featured on the show for the past couple days. Let's go to that tape.
I am down the shore on the beach.
Yeah, turn it up a little bit.
These Orange Smash they are from The Devil Backbone.
You remember her, right?
I remember her. And by the way, listeners going crazy over the Orange Smash.
Big fan.
Well, Mike,
guy talking about having it in his grocery store and everything.
I did a little research thanks to a tip that was on the internet.
Yeah.
And it turns out the Orange Smash is a canned version of a popular drink called the Orange Crush.
I've had Orange Crush. Yeah.
And the Orange Crush was invented in Ocean City, Maryland.
Ooh.
And we had Sharon Bailey on a show.
Yeah, we did.
Wow, connect the dots.
Now, lots of places call themselves the home of the Orange Crush, but generally it's known as the Harborside Bar and Grill in West Ocean City, Maryland. And it was
By the way, I saw it as well. I know what you're going to read here, and I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Because this looks like it would just get you ossified in half an hour if you drank too many of these.
I love the quote from the manager of the bar. He says, "It was a cold winter night. The bar was really slow. We were watching football and just started messing around with the vodka."
Oh, I love it. It's fun. It's fun. Yeah. So talk so about
like
the recipe.
The
interesting.
Secret is it's sort of...
Thomas Edison all comes full circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant.
It's sort of, I guess, a derivative of a screwdriver, but the secret here is fresh squeezed orange juice.
What's a
Which
screwdriver?
Which I have to say,
a screwdriver is orange juice and vodka.
Okay. Vodka and orange juice.
Okay. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
gross, to be honest with you.
You know what it is? Oh, it's an airplane drink.
I know I'm pissing people off now. I know I'm pissing people off. Just doesn't do it for me. It's just
You're gonna have if you're gonna have a drink on a morning flight, you really are sort of limited to a screwdriver or a Bloody Mary. And you're a Bloody Mary guy.
The thing about the screwdriver is that it has to be fresh orange juice.
It does.
Or it's just not anything orange juice based. It's a bit.
Mimosas are the same way. Mimosas are the same way.
Yeah, down here in Florida, a lot of citrus based drinks, and if you find a place with all the craft cocktail makers around that put the fresh juices in there, it's a
tough. As I read this, I thought back to when I was a drinker, mm-hmm. and I said this would be outstanding. Here's the recipe. It's not
that's
very
what scares me when you say that. Well, Mike, you sound so lustful when you say
no,
that.
No, I've got it out of my system. And also, okay, this is also something that could never be captured in a can, which is why I think you're better off making it fresh and perhaps putting it in a thermos.
But hold on. I think, and I know what recipe you're going to use, and I'll let you give the recipe.
Yeah.
I think the profile of this type of drink is better in a can because it'll be less sweet, perhaps.
Well,
just go ahead.
But you can vary your ingredients. This recipe, this comes from
Sharon Bailey.
HowSweetEats.com, all right?
Okay. All right.
One navel orange freshly juiced, which will give you probably about a quarter cup to a little more, depending on the orange juice.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 2 ounces of vodka.
Oh.
I wouldn't use anything fancy in this.
Start again with the recipe. I'll write it down.
Okay. One navel orange freshly juiced. 2 ounces of vodka. And this is just me being a commentator. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use anything expensive in this. 1 ounce of Grand Marnier.
Ooh.
But I think you could get away with triple sec in this, which is roughly the same.
I'm sorry. No, we don't accept that. We don't accept that one.
Well, Mike, the Ocean City recipe calls for Grand Marnier, calls for triple sec.
Nah, really? That's trashy. Ocean
it is.
City. That's because it's Ocean City.
Yeah, it is. It's trashy. But
sorry,
you can also
Ocean
buy.
City.
You know what? You can go in the middle and buy another. There are several orange liqueurs that are Grand Marnier knockoffs that would be fine in this. 3 to 4 ounces of lemon lime soda, like Sprite or 7-Up. Orange wedge for Garnier. And a sprig of fresh mint. Fill a tall glass with crushed ice. I recommend a Collins glass. Pour the vodka, Grand Marnier, and fresh orange juice in the glass. Give it a gentle stir. Top off with soda, orange wedge, and the mint leaf. Serve. I would serve it with a straw. Anytime you're using an aromatic, you want to drink through a straw so you can smell it as you drink it. And that, Mike,
exciting.
Is an orange crush.
That feels like so much work.
It's not.
Send me some
It's
cans.
Fun. It's fun. When I go to Millsy's house and he's at his bar and he's doing this stuff, that's fun. It's a blast. It's fun.
I love making a cocktail like that.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
It just feels like so much work.
No. Well, you make something like a Mai Tai, it's fun to do all that stuff.
But I still maintain you will have a totally different flavor profile because, Rob, what you get out of the orange smash is you get that orange soda flavor and carbonation with the can being in the can.
But do you want that? Because I mean,
I'm on a kick right now where I like stuff that I grab out of the refrigerator.
The fresh orange juice is going to be, especially if it is really cold, because what I would do if I was a drinking man, I would squeeze the juice the night before and chill it overnight so it's very, very cold. And then you've got a little advantage on the ice. Then, of course, you don't chill the vodka or the Grand Marnier, but that will bring the temperature down. This is a drink that has got to be, it's an official summertime drink of Ocean City, so it has to be served cold.
You're very selfless to be sharing this on something that you haven't tried.
You could do a mocktail, right?
No, I don't do a mocktail.
But you could.
You could.
Well, a mocktail, just grab an orange soda.
It would be orange juice and Sprite.
Yeah, that's
hooray!
All. That's orange soda. Yeah,
thanks
that's all
so much,
is,
Oscar.
You know? Yeah, that would be delicious.
Shove it right
up
your
Jimmy
mocktail.
In to make one. Get Jimmy in to yeah. We haven't Jimmy. No, we're not. No, we're not doing that. Sorry.
Mike, do you how sticky do you want the console to be?
I don't want you to be sticky. We're going to take a break, and when we come back,
just
we need you for the Town of Sound.
It'll be okay.
Coming up next right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Whoa, whoa.
Men, are you tired of radio? All those yakety-yaks filling your heads with nonsense day in, day out? After a long day at work, don't you just want your pipe and slippers and some measurable entertainment? Well, here at Moore Industries, we strive every day to make podcasts that bring the funny. Take the Mike O'Meara Show and the Bonus Hour, for instance. This joyful bantering of ball-busting humor lightens the load of your drudging life. Over here, we see our newest machine, the DGH-4000. It can crank out 50 jokes an hour. Let's see what it says. Hobble-doo-gee. Well, back to the drawing board. TMOS and Moore Industries. Making the funny just for you.
Hey, everybody, it's summer. Lighten up. Dadgrass is great anytime. It can help you chill out before a big meeting or be the replacement for that evening glass of wine. Dadgrass is legal organic hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind, baby.
Now.
Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth.
Baby.
Try that, baby. Try their token pre-rolled joints. They're smokable toilet. Or if you prefer hemp flower or the CBD tincture drops that Oscar likes.
I'm in.
Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS to check out their products right now. Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Cue the town sound music thing.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
It has been a minute, as the kids say. It's been a minute since we spotlighted a TMOS politician of the day. But today we're going to turn our spotlights to North Carolina and Republican congressional candidate Beau Hines, who was asked about a question that involved banana republics, which, as you know, are usually small countries with self-sustaining governments that cannot sustain themselves.
Preppy, fast fashion.
Well, no, it's not that.
Oh.
However, Beau Hines might not have known exactly what the question meant when they mentioned banana republic.
You get to Congress. Is it going to be real? Are we actually going to be willing to defund?
You know, a lot of people have likened the situation that's going on right now as, you know, they say we're in a banana republic. I think that's an insult to banana republics across the country. I mean, at least the manager of banana republic, unlike our president, knows where he is and why he's there and what he's doing.
Oh, no.
After it's the just, interview.
It's weekly. It's weekly now. It used to be, I remember, I've been doing this a long time. It used to be you'd get one of the two of these a year.
That's
real
it.
Good
not
ones.
A, not an elected politician. This is crazy.
You get them weekly now. With it's stunning. It's stunning that this goes on and on and on.
After the interview, his staff issued a statement said he was joking.
Mm-mm. Oh God,
I was joking.
Moron.
He was not.
Wow.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Do you take the Celebrity Family Feud? I don't watch Celebrity Family Feud.
I buy their snow globes too.
I didn't know they were still on the market.
Yeah, it's got Steve Harvey in the middle, and then it's got the cast, the old cast of Who's the Boss, and the NFL Hall of Fame.
Do you have the one that on the bottom has the etching of Gene Wood?
Yeah,
Gene Wood, the Family Feud.
All right, one of the guests on Celebrity Family Feud this week was Christian Chenoweth, and got a.
Isn't she the one that's got the little baby voice?
Yeah, yeah. But we get sort of a look into her life, I guess.
I actually don't know much about her family. It's interesting.
She's petite. She's blonde. Broadway star.
I know she is. I just didn't know. You don't really see her family, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to see. We're going to find out something about her that I did not expect, certainly. What is bleeped here, and I'm not sure why ABC bleeped it, but she says, rhymes with heinous. That's what she says. That's what's bleeped, okay?
We asked 100 women, after the lips, what's your favorite part of a man to kiss? Kristen.
Rhymes with
Oh, my goodness.
Like, wow.
Wow.
Right out the gate.
Oh, you wanted to comment?
Hold on. Let me gather myself up.
That's her second.
Rhymes with?
Yeah. Heinous.
Rhymes with heinous?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she said heinous.
Yeah, but they bleeped it. But I think we all know what she was saying.
That's what she...
Yeah, that's her second favorite place to kiss.
I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know what? I'll take it from the top.
Oscar, yeah.
What's funny is they showed a clip of her husband after she said it. He seemed okay with it.
We asked 100 women, after the lips, what's your favorite part of a man to kiss? Kristen.
Rhymes with...
Audience doesn't like it.
They're not fans either.
Wow. Wow. Right out the gate.
I'm sorry. I'm a good Christian girl. Forgive me.
It rhymes with it.
She is.
Welcome to Sunday
That's
Night
why,
TV, folks.
Seriously, the structure of that game show and the writing is so
perfect.
Still
almost
great.
Perfect.
And it's got the best host. You know, he's perfect for the role. Great. The gig found him, and he should be there because nobody does the deadpan. Oh, man, makes me want to, like, that clip, what you've successfully done, I want to go out and watch, like, 9 hours of The Feud now, just for moments like that.
Rhymes with heinous.
Heinous.
Yeah.
It's what she likes to kiss.
Yeah. It also rhymes with tuthole.
No, gross.
There's many things that it rhymes with.
Rhymes with paint.
Rhymes with bookie. Oh. All right, let's move on.
Oh, you win.
Oh, Amy Schumer is funny, even if she has a comically small mouth. She put this out on Instagram. I think this is a great announcement.
Hey, y'all. I've decided for my own mental health to do more social media. I find that looking at my phone for 8.5 hours a day is helping me. It's helping this pimple patch and this breakout. And being in my 40s, it's actually really good for me to watch all of Love Island and all of The Bachelors, whether in paradise or just normal mansions. So you'll be seeing a lot more of me on social media just for my physical and mental well-being.
So good for her.
Who? I'm sorry, because rhymes with Buki.
Yes.
You got me.
That was Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Oh, that's Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer. All right.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near her Buki.
Oh, dear.
That's for sure. On any possible. There is not enough Orange Smash in the world for that
Crush.
To happen with me. Yes,
what rhymes with Lysol?
Oh my God.
Okay, let's close with this. This is comes from Oscar's feed. This is a stand-up comic named Torrio Van Grol. And before he was a comic, he worked in a restaurant. And Oscar actually posed this question to us. Do you know what an affogato is?
Why do I think...
Because Oscar posed this question on Sunday
night. Yeah, I sent it to you. We did it off air.
Yeah. It's an after-dinner drink or a cordial where you float ice cream in espresso.
Mm-hmm.
And it's A-F-F-O.
Sounds fantastic.
G-A-T-O. Affogato.
Affogato.
And this is Torrio Van Grol and working in a fancy restaurant.
My line at the end of the meal is I would ask if they wanted any coffee or dessert. And one time this lady said, yeah, I'll have an affogato. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah.
Some people? Okay, I didn't. Because what I said back to her, I was like, you want an avocado? And she said, yes. And I was like, I don't think she does, so I'm going to say this out loud again. I was like, you want me to bring you an avocado? And she just waved me off, you know? Just that I'm done talking to the help hand gesture.
Why do I think we heard this already?
Because I sent it to you off air.
Ah, yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. Okay.
But I liked it so much.
All runs together at my age, Oscar. It really does. You know, I get that. But doesn't it sound yummy, though?
It does.
Yeah, but it also sounds like avocado.
It's the second.
It sounds exactly like avocado.
Besides the lips, it's something I would like to taste.
Yes, you know what I'd like? I'd like a big spoon rot. Rhymes with big spoon rot.
I remember just walking out to the dining room so defeated. I was like, this can't be right. There's no way. This is what she wants.
So,
but I didn't know what to do. I just presented her an avocado. And she was like, no, wrong. And I was like, I know. I knew it was wrong. Tried it anyway. I didn't know.
I love his tone. It's wrong. I know.
It's so beautifully picked because of the fact that the vast majority of people don't know what it is.
Exactly.
That's what makes that so brilliant.
Yeah, but anyway, Mike, that's all I got.
Oh, that's it. That's all. Out of here. It's having too much fun today. Hey, we want to thank our dear friend and wonderful contributor to the show, Sharon Bailey, who has supported us for so long. It was great hearing her story, and keep traveling, and we'll let you know as soon as we know. Oscar works on it every week with the people out there. So we're trying to put it together, folks, and we'll let you know as soon as we know. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It's coming from the health sector. I just swallowed a beet.
He's not going to stop that. He's going to challenge the freedom and democracy. Oh my God.
Number one, this is disgusting.
I see.